You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
All right. Filling our coffee cups up. Come on in. Well, have you ever had a friend and another friend that you're like, I just got to get these two friends together because they will love each other? You ever had that experience? You know somebody and you're like, I know this other friend, and man, they would really enjoy each other's company. Well, I have some friends here. We have some friends here that I know you will love, and I know they will love you. They've heard about you for many years. But for the last couple of years, we've taken our Momentum students on our trip down to Washington, D.C. We've been also going to the city of Baltimore. And my friends Ben and Rebecca Malman, they are here this morning. They moved to Baltimore in 2010 and planted a church there, and they're leading a church down there. And I just want you to meet my friends. They're going to come and share. Ben and Rebecca, why don't you come on up? They have come, and they want to get to know you. They want us to get to know them a little bit. And Rebecca's going to share a little bit about them, and then we're going to hear a message from Ben.
Good morning, church. I am so excited to be here today. We have heard of your church for a very long time, and to actually be here is amazing. And the drive up here was so beautiful, but I do have to admit that on the way, we lost springtime. And I'm sorry. No, we really are so happy to be here this morning. And when you're church has visited our church, you come with encouragement, you come with faith, you come with joy, and it is like family coming to visit. And so thank you for sowing into our church. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about our family. So we did move to Baltimore from Portland. So we've got a couple of slides here with pictures to help you see. That's our family there this Christmas. And so in 2010, I was going to say, I have to show you our Christmas card here. We've been having a lot of fun in Baltimore. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Oh, okay. It's not there. So this is Portland. There it is. So you can see some of the fun that we've been having as a church family. Gave that out to neighbors and a lot of people in the city. So we moved from Portland, Oregon to Baltimore City in 2010, and God supernaturally knit our heart to that city. And it is a beautiful and wonderful thing. It's been such an honor to serve a city and to plant where God has called you. And go ahead and go to the next one. So this is our daughter, Charlotte. So she is a junior at Portland Bible College in Manna House, which is where we are actually from. And she is so fantastic. Of course, I would say that because I'm her mother, right? And we are excited that God is just building in her such wonderful things there. And she's meeting some of your people there, too, which she also really loves. Go ahead and go to the next. Oh, she teaches art as well there. And this is our son, Gideon. He is a junior in high school. He goes to one of the public high schools there in the area that our daughter also attended and graduated from. And he currently plays his guitar in worship on Sunday mornings, which brings me endless joy. We live in a row home in Baltimore City that we bought a few years ago that is an absolute blessing from God. And in our church, our house is known as the zoo. Yes, so go ahead and do the next slide. There's our home. So it's rock, and we live in a row of neighbors. We are wall to wall to wall, and it's wonderful. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So this is Thor and Loki, our two cats. The top one is Thor, that's Charlotte's. Bottom is Loki, that is Gideon's cat. Go ahead, next one. This is my baby, Jaeger. This is a German Shepherd, also a gift from God. Maybe I'll get to share that story with you sometime. We also have about 8 geckos, a big fish tank, and a snake. So that is why we are called the zoo. And when we leave, we get to have people take care of them for us. So thank you to our church. That's a little bit about us. I wanted to open us up in prayer a little bit. I've been praying for your church as soon as we knew that we were coming. And I have been praying before that for your pastors, for your team that leads you. Is it okay if I pray for you today? So actually, why don't you just go ahead and close your eyes just to shut out movement and stuff. As I was praying, I just had a thought from God that there are people here today that are dealing with anxiety and depression. And some of you have shared it with other people and maybe are getting help with that, but I really felt also that there are a few people who have not told anybody. And they've been dealing with it on their own. And if you are in either of those two groups, I want you to hear what God said to me. He said that he sees you and he hears you. He sees when it's hard for you to get out of bed. He sees when you look around at your family or where you live and it's heavy and there's no hope. That he knows what is happening. And I want to remind you that God is not a passive God. God is with you. He never leaves you. His love is great. And so one of the things that we've been encouraging our church with that I believe is also for you is that what you see in your life, in your family's life, in your friend's life, in your town, in the town government, what you see with your natural eyes is not what God sees. God sees you. He sees your faith. He sees when you have stood firm, and he sees when you doubt and when you struggle, and that's okay. He has a hope and a plan for this area that is beautiful. God sees something different. And so I'm going to pray both for those who are dealing with depression and anxiety, but also for everyone here today and those who have not made it in yet this morning, that God would start to give you glimpses with your spiritual eyes of what he sees, of those places in your life that just seem impossible. So agree with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church. And I thank you for this church. And God, I pray for anyone here today that is dealing with depression and anxiety. God, it's such a weapon that our enemy has brought against us to cloud our abilities to see who you are, to cloud our abilities to see what you can do, what you have done, and what you can do. And so, God, I just pray that you would come right now with a rush of your Holy Spirit to the depths of their very heart, and you would start to scrape away the depression and the anxiety that clings to them, that it would fall from them today. And God, I pray that for those who have dealt with it for a long time, God, that they would start to see results they have never seen before, that they would start to wake up with joy, that they would start to wake up with sounds of praise and worship on their lips, with scriptures coming through from their spirit and out their mouth, declaring your goodness, declaring that you are a God who sees and hears and acts. And for those who have not told anyone out of fear, out of insecurity, out of whatever, God, I pray that you would give them the strength to reach out, to find help, to find love, to find compassion. But more than anything, God, I pray that you would be their friend in this, that you would be the compassion that they need. And God, I pray that you would instill hope into every heart here today. God, you see a church whose roots go deep down into the bedrock of this community. And God, I pray that that tree of faith, that tree of hope, that tree that has clung to you would grow and flourish and be a safe place of shelter and shade for those who are weary from life, and that in that they would be ambassadors of you, Jesus, that they would see salvations, that they would see miracles of healing and deliverance. God, that church would not be the same anymore. That you would place a line in the sand, that as they step over in your calling and your direction with your wisdom and grace, that church would be different. That it would be exciting, that it would be passionate. God, let it be a taste of heaven. And God, for everyone here, I pray that you would open up their eyes, their spiritual abilities to see what you see, to have great love and deep compassion for the people that they pass on the streets. Lord, that even them walking or going to the grocery store to work will not be the same anymore either, God, but that your compassion will flow from them to that person. It will overwhelm them, and it will overwhelm that person, and that you will break down walls, and you will break down things that have held onto people and brought deep sadness and fear and isolation, and instead they will be brought into the family of God. God, I pray for visions and dreams and prophecies that will come out of this church and encourage this church for this community, because you have set people here with a place and a passion for you. And I ask that that passion would be overwhelming and guided and funneled into your way, your wisdom, your creativity. Holy Spirit, be released in this place. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would release salvation and forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for letting me pray for you. So, Ben is going to be speaking on Philemon. And so, I have to read the whole book, and I'm really sorry, but it's only this long, so it's okay. But I really think that he asked me to read it because he didn't want to have to pronounce all the names. So. No, I'm kidding. I did have to go and look them up because there's a lot of names that are not what I'm used to. And Philemon apparently is actually Philemon, and that just makes me think of steak. So I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say Philemon, but the other ones I'll try to pronounce them right. So we will start by reading Philemon. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. I love that. That you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you, consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child Onesimus, because I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I was in these chains for preaching good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you have lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it and won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greeting. So do Mark and Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in your spirit.
Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. All right. Isn't she lovely? So we're going to set the scene. There's obviously a lot going on in this letter. Talk about the cast of characters, just a few of them. And the life message in this series, His Story, Our Story. And then we're going to pause before we head out for food, whatever it is you're doing today. Maybe some of you are fasting, I don't know. And talk about what we learned from it and what we should do about it. And we're going to have just a kind of a simple tagline for this. Phil, who is what I'm going to call Philemon, Phil forgives. But first, we probably should do a little bit of quick Q&A. No, I've never played Santa. And I, too, wonder what Justin would look like with a glorious beard like this. You know, I've been to Poughkeepsie, Schenectady, Utica, Syracuse, Albany. They've got nothing on Messina. Because you're here. And Rebecca and I have a deep appreciation and respect for your pastors, for Greg, Jessica, Justin, and Julie. And we are so very glad to be here, so thankful for the opportunity. So our home is really in the middle of the Baltimore city limits, and that means that 2 out of 3 people around us are African American. The high school that our kids have gone to is 80% Black, and you might be wondering what it's like to be a minority. And I'll tell you, when I go into the YMCA, the young lady who greets me there is convinced that I am the twin of Chris Stapleton. Some of you get that later. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on in this story, because like there's some drama in this letter, and there's some kind of weird stuff and different stuff. So first, God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus Christ. Had this miracle birth that fulfilled prophecy, had a kind of an ordinary life then. And what had never been done before and never been done since, he predicted with details his death, burial, and resurrection, and then it happened. And I'm so thankful, as we heard in the songs that were sung this morning, that Jesus Christ took our sins on himself on the cross. He paid the price once and for all. And on the third morning, as proof that Father God accepted the payment for your sin, Jesus was raised from the dead. I am so thankful for the forgiveness of my sins. Because I did wrong. I'm so thankful that God, through Jesus, my Savior and Lord, gave me a new heart. Now, Phil, Uncle Phil, is it like a little Fresh Prince of Bel Air? We get a little bit of that vibe here in this story. About 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus, Phil hears the good news of Jesus through Paul in Ephesus. And from the beginning of the letter, we get a very clear sense that Phil is changed by Jesus. Like, the forgiveness through Jesus has given him a new life, has changed who and what he is. Now, we also get an indication here. Most people at this time were small business people. And some people transitioned their small business to big business, and Phil had done that. And we see mentioned here his wife and his son, and that all three of them were really changed by Jesus, with a new life and the forgiveness of Jesus. And Phil had returned from Ephesus with this change to his hometown, which is Colossae. Can we see the map? And this might be a little bit helpful. So Jerusalem, which some of you might be wondering, it's off the map a little bit to the right. And then you see Ephesus near the coast there, and that's where Turkey is now, the nation of Turkey, not, you know, turkey sandwiches. And then about 100 miles inland is Colossae, which the letter to the Colossians is there. Now, most likely what's going on here is that Paul is imprisoned in Rome. And so Phil has heard the good news of Jesus in Ephesus, and that he's traveled back home 100 miles inland, and within 5 to 10 years, he and his family have welcomed this new group of Jesus followers, this spiritual forever family, into their home. Because remember, at this point, there isn't really this Christian church that owns buildings, right? So they've welcomed them in their home. They're serving the church and the New Testament church, and they're leading. They're part of the leadership of the church. So there's real change that's happened. And that's a part of Phil's life and what's happened in him. And what we also see here is Paul and his relationship with them. And it's helpful for us to understand what Paul mentions, that he's old now. So this is probably one of his later imprisonments. I know, what's the deal with the guy? He keeps getting locked up, right? And the way that Paul writes shows that there is a relationship there, and that the relationship is based on the miracle of Jesus and a life-changing forgiveness. So one thing that would be helpful to understand is that the Romans were in power, and when the Romans imprisoned you, they didn't provide food. I know maybe a lot of you've never been locked up. I've done a lot of prison ministry, and I've actually been in a lot of prisons, jails, and whatnot. And when the Romans locked you up, they didn't give you food. So you'd starve to death if you didn't have money and someone who loved you enough to bring you food. And so this is actually relevant to our story. But with our story, we got to talk about slavery as well. And we can't get into all the detail for the sake of time, but history, the history books help us understand that Rome built their empire on the foundation of slavery. They did some good things. They built roads, did a lot with plumbing, and established the concept of citizenship, which the Christian church started to use. But they did a lot of bad stuff, and their kingdom, it's just undeniable, was built on the foundation of slavery. A little bit different than the slavery that we understand here in North America. And so when they would go in and they would conquer a village and people, they would enslave those people, both the enemy soldiers, combatants, and also just the average people, the women and children. They would enslave them. And so then as the years roll on, some people are born into slavery. And then if you committed a crime, Depending on your crime, a lot of times you would be enslaved from that point on. And some slaves were assigned to specific people and homes, and then some slaves had tasks that were for public service, and there was different tiers of them. So you could even have a tax collector, different kinds of people that had different kinds of jobs that were slaves. And most slaves were forced into prostitution, and it was not a good thing. It's not something to make light of. And there was also this indentured bond servant thing where if you had an overwhelming amount of debt, you could sell yourself into slavery. Because of your debt, you could sign up to be a slave. And so that kind of brings us to Onesimus. And can we get the map back up, please? And in our hometown, sometimes African Americans have a name that white people struggle with. They'll just call themselves by the first letter of that name. We have a young lady in our church named Chiquetta, and she's tired of being called Chiquita, so she has people just call her Q. Lance, you met Q, you know, right? So let's call Onesimus O, right? So we've got Phil and O. Now, what we get from this story is that O was a slave of Phil in Colossae, right? And at some point what happened is he escaped. And what we can read into the details of this story is that he has escaped and stolen enough money or possessions to pay his way to get from Colossae over to Rome. And you can imagine, I mean, that's a great distance because look, from Ephesus to Colossae, that's 100 miles. So he's stolen enough money to make it there and to have a life there. And at some point, in some way, he's come into contact with Paul. And what is possible is that he could have been, you know, he's in hiding, but he needs work. And so maybe he's taken some of the day labor. So maybe he's delivering food to Paul in his imprisonment. That's a very likely, you know, maybe he was a Grubhub or we live in cities. So those food delivery services are DoorDash, you know, maybe O is DoorDashing, right? And he meets Paul, and Paul shares the good news of Jesus with him. Now, this is really critical for us to understand, because the Romans, this is the capital of Rome, this is a big city, and from the history, what we understand is that easily one-third of the people who lived in Rome were enslaved. So the Roman church, you look around the room, what if one out of three people sitting next to you were enslaved? Or there was an established practice of for good behavior and loyalty to reward a slave, to release a slave, give them their freedom. So there were some definitely people in the Christian church, the New Testament church, that were enslaved or had been enslaved. And for O to be in Rome and to meet Paul, he's taking a risk for his story to be known, because the Romans punished very severely escaped slaves, sometimes with death. In fact, the expectation of Phil, if O showed back up, the expectation would be that Phil would brand his face or break one of his limbs, at least, if not kill him. That's the cultural expectation on Phil if O was to be returned. So, but O has found the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we sung about this morning. He's found this new heart, this forgiveness of sins. He's received salvation. And what we understand that to mean is he's totally changed. Have you been changed? And he's made public his faith in Jesus through water baptism. But then he's been so changed that when Paul says, hey, I'm going to send you back. And actually what happened is Paul sent O and a traveling partner to deliver the letter to Philemon, Uncle Phil, and the letter of Colossians and Ephesians. The two of them traveled from Rome over and delivered what is in your Bible as Ephesians to Ephesus, and then the letter to Philemon and also the letter Colossians in your Bible. So they're given responsibility. Have you ever had anything stolen from you? I loved skateboarding. Saved my sanity. As a 14-year-old in 1988... denim jackets were the thing. Man, I wanted a jean jacket. And that was the year they started coming out with these acid wash denim jackets. They were so, it was the pinnacle of cool. It were James Dean, but better. My parents got me one. You got to understand, when I was in elementary school, we had some government assistance for food. Like, we didn't have money. I had, like, one pair of shoes a year. You know, I wasn't poor, but I was kind of close to poor. I got this denim jacket. I was like, this is amazing. In less than a month, someone stole it from me. And I saw it at school. But he denied, that joker denied for the rest of his life that it was mine. It hurts when something's stolen from you. Phil forgives. Phil forgives. This letter isn't possible without it being a different kind of forgiveness than we know. We need to break this down a little bit because I know some of you already are just feeling a little uncomfortable because we're talking about forgiveness. But I want you to understand something, and I don't have time to get into all of it. Rebecca took all my time. People that have known me from childhood and through would probably say that forgiveness is my life story. I've had people do me wrong. In Baltimore, we say, you've been done dirty. I've been done wrong. I've been deeply hurt. I've had people literally blacklist me from getting a job. I've been done wrong. We can't understand what's really being talked about in this letter if we have a fuzzy relationship with right and wrong. If you've ever been really hurt, if you've ever really been angry at someone for doing you dirty, you know that was wrong. Am I the only human in here, right? It's like, come on, man, what's wrong with you? What'd you do to me? From the New Testament, we get this idea that a Jesus follower's apology looks something like this. And this is what Onesimus, this is what O would be saying to Phil. This is what I did that was wrong. This is the damage that was caused. I'm sorry. This is what I'm going to do to make it right. I make a commitment to never do it again. Please forgive me. That's what a Jesus follower's apology is like. Because if you understand the good news of Jesus, you understand that forgiveness wasn't free to God. It's not based on your merit. It's not based on you being a good person. It's based on God's grace. Grace is God giving you good love that you don't deserve. I mean, y'all look good today, and I mean, I think you're perfect, but God knows the truth. So, what's so critical for us to understand is that description of an apology that I just gave, that's based on not you forgiving them out of your forgiveness, because that's not possible if it's a big thing. It's you forgiving them based on the forgiveness God has already given you. It's you saying, God, help me forgive. See, you got to understand that Paul and O and Phil prayed the prayer Jesus gave, the power tool that Jesus gave, the Lord's Prayer. Father, forgive me as I forgive those who did me wrong. Jesus actually makes forgiveness is a little bit, see, you might almost say conditional. And that might sound wrong. That might sound uncomfortable until you really receive it. Have you received the forgiveness that God forgives you with? Down deep, that secret thing in the past that you don't think God can forgive because you're thinking about God with prejudice. Don't define God based on people, because God ain't people. God is divine. He is other than. He is unrivaled. He is unparalleled. The love of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God is not from this world. It's otherworldly. It's supernatural. It's extraordinary. And so even if you can't believe that God can forgive you, you can make a decision to believe that God has forgiven you. Not based on you doing something good, dressing right, paying your taxes, Lord help us, but actually based on His grace that is otherworldly. And forgiving those who hurt you is always going to feel impossible if you're doing it on your own strength. I've got to get this. Oh, God, you forgave me of so much. That's the forgiveness that Paul is saying in the letter has already shaped Phil and is calling from Phil to shape O's life. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a whole new value system. It's New Testament church, the church is one big family. You're not alone. God designed us to be together. So we welcome everyone with open arms to be a part of our family. See, Paul doesn't only call Phil to forgive, he calls Phil to change O's status. From slave to free, but not the world's kind of forgiveness, which actually has indifference. I will tolerate you being in the same room and I won't try to kill you. No, that's earthly carnal forgiveness. God's forgiveness changes the status from O being a slave, an escaped slave who deserves punishment, but not based on O's good works that he did, but based on the grace of Jesus. Paul calls Phil to forgive O and change his status to being his brother, his dearly loved brother. In the letter, Paul says, I'm sending O with you and with him my heart. That is other, that's alien forgiveness. I'm being silly, but you need to understand. Because here's the thing. You know what empties fentanyl of its value? Supernatural forgiveness. If you've been forgiven and you've been forever changed by that forgiveness, then that's the forgiveness you give. And it goes to the center of a person. They start to become filled with love. It goes to the inside and works its way out. It's spiritual. It brings supernatural change. It brings repair where there's brokenness. It brings new love, new strength, identity and value and purpose. It brings change. It changes this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. Okay, so what do we learn? Can we put that slide up, please? What do we learn from this letter? I got like way too much to say about this. Well, first, God gives life-changing forgiveness through faith in Jesus as Savior. You identify with this? Can you just let me know? Does that... Life-changing forgiveness. God doesn't want you to live beating yourself up for your sin. God wants you to receive His forgiveness deep, but He also wants you to remember that without Him, where would you be? And I can tell you, I would be worse than nothing. So this morning, I have tears in worship with the lyrics about the good news of Jesus because it's changed my life. Second, God teaches us to forgive in this supernatural way. Let's pray for just a moment. If you're here, and just talking about this brings up pain and anger. I just want to pray right now. Let's pray. you feeling any kind of pain, anger, resentment, or maybe it's because you haven't been forgiven by someone, or maybe just talking about this causes you to think about the person that you stopped speaking to years ago, let's just pray right now. God, we come into this place recognizing our need for you. Help us receive your miracle of forgiveness. Thank you, God, that you're in the Psalms, it says you're close to the brokenhearted and that you heal the brokenhearted. God, you know perfectly where everyone is at right now, exactly what they're thinking, exactly what they're feeling, exactly what the thing is that they haven't received forgiveness for, exactly what the thing is that they're holding on to. Come right now in the name of Jesus and do miracles of forgiveness. Miracles of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. So let's talk about just briefly, what should we do? I grew up in church, so I often walk away from Sundays going, okay, what now? What does that mean? What does it matter tomorrow? What should we do? Well, first, I really would recommend that this week you read this letter to Philemon. And prayerfully consider, ask God to help you understand what it means to you. Is there something about forgiveness? Think about it this way. If the person who wronged you is in a jail cell, awaiting punishment, and you're holding on to the key, person who wronged you is in a jail cell waiting punishment and you're holding on to the key. God's idea that we see explained in Scripture, that Jesus followers forgiveness, means I let go of the key. I make a decision, not based on my feeling, not based on the other person doing anything right, not based on them apologizing. I make a decision to open my hand, let go of the key, let go of my right to see them punished, and I give it to God. See, God will judge the guilty, those who don't repent. So you're not the best judge anyway. And you need God's forgiveness. So it's letting go of that key. And that's what Paul calls on Phil to do. Let go of your right to see O punished. So what should we do? Read the letter this week. Prayerfully ask God to help you understand what it means. Second, pray, ask God for guidance in you sharing forgiveness. So this is God's story, our story, this series. It's about your life story, connecting with the life stories in Scriptures, and the Jesus movement. What's the application? You know it can end poverty in this area, and we have zip codes on either side of us where extreme poverty is double the national average. So we understand it, right? So you know what can fix what's wrong in the world? If you receive forgiveness deeply, and follow the lead of the Holy Spirit to share it. Everything else about stewardship and resource and everything else can flow out of that. But you need to ask the Holy Spirit for His guidance, because here's what can happen. It'll seem impossible when you make up your own list, and your own list is complicated and it's long. Most of the time, the Holy Spirit has given you one thing at a time to do about it. And it won't seem impossible if you are stopped listening to your own voice or someone else's voice, but you listen to the Holy Spirit and His guidance. Because His guidance is not to overwhelm you, crush you, make you feel like it's impossible, but to lead you forward in freedom. Number three, last one. I think this is really helpful. Maybe even right now with your phone, just thumb punch some notes in there. Write your own definitions and truth statements from this letter. What's your definition of forgiveness? As we see the rest of the story, Phil's son, who's mentioned in this letter, we see later on is leading the church in Laodicea. And Onesimus, this is interesting. So Onesimus was actually a name given to bondservants, and it meant useful, literally meant useful, and Paul's leveraging that. So we're not sure if it's the same Onesimus, but it's quite possible that Onesimus then is later the bishop of Antioch writes about him leading the church in Ephesus. It's a part of the rest of the story. But I'm going to hand it over to Justin, but I want to give an opportunity for you to receive forgiveness from God. Maybe you're here, you've never asked God for forgiveness. You've never received the salvation that I'm talking about. Maybe you checked the box and you participated with church stuff, but it's never actually been personal and private and life-changing to you. Maybe you've never believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Savior and Lord. Maybe you did and you've walked away from God and it's time to come back. Let's just give an opportunity for people to respond and receive that. Does that sound good? You're here and you're a believer. Now's the time to pray for those who need to accept Jesus for the first time as Savior or come back to Him. In fact, why don't we stand? Why don't we just stand? Let's just have a moment of prayer. Either you're praying for people who need Jesus, or right now, if you're here, you know I'm talking to you because you can hear, you know the Holy Spirit's talking to you. It's time. It's your day. It's your time to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's your time to come back. This stuff is real. It's not like the way other people are treated. It's real. So here's what the Bible says. We believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Jesus' message was, there is forgiveness for all who believe. So if you're here and that's you, I want to lead in a prayer, and I just like to ask everyone to repeat the prayer after me. Now, we don't believe that it's magic words that do this. We believe it's God doing a miracle in you, and it's you responding, and it's a life thing, and you need to identify all your questions and doubts and pursue the answers of it. It's very journey. It's not just about praying magic words. This isn't superstition. But these words kind of help embody some of the truth that Jesus taught. So if you're a Jesus follower or you're making that decision today for the first time or you're coming back, I want you to just repeat this prayer after me as a way to affirm this and maybe make that step. Dear Lord Jesus, just everyone, you're Jesus follower, just repeat it out loud to help everyone else feel secure in it. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I confess my sins. Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn away from the past and I turn to you. Thank you. Come on, right now, there's a party going on in heaven. Why don't we just celebrate what God is doing? Justin's going to come and give us instructions and how you would respond. Thank you.
We have some folks that are going to come up that would love to pray with you. And if we need some more extras, that's okay. But we want to pray with you. If you prayed that for the first time or you would like to be prayed for, we want to pray for you. We want to stand with you. We want to stand together. We want to encourage each other. We're going to take a moment to sing one more song and then go our way this week. But if you do want prayer, we have some awesome people here that want to pray. Jesus, we lift your name up, God. We receive your forgiveness today. God, help us to apply this message, to apply this scripture to our lives as we offer forgiveness as you instructed us to. God, we thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to realize it afresh this week. Let's sing together.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.